A New York Angel flight is down with a loss of three. The NBAA welcomes Sarah to the Senate. And a new program helps wounded warriors reach for the sky. This is Aero News for Tuesday, May 28, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. A PA-34 twin-engine Seneca reportedly broke apart in flight before impacting the ground last Friday in a wooded area near Ephrata, New York, claiming the lives of the pilot and two passengers. Tragically, the flight from Bedford, Maine to Rome, New York, was being operated as an Angel flight. Killed in the accident was pilot John Campbell, 70 years old, of Stamford, Connecticut, as well as Frank and Evelyn Amorosa of Utica, New York. Mr. Amorosa was being transported by Angel Flight due to a brain cancer when the accident occurred. The accident took place just after 1700 local time, and the wreckage is reportedly scattered over an area that is said to be some 5 miles wide. Much of the wreckage came to rest in a pond, so recovery is expected to take some time before the aircraft is completely recovered. According to a report on FoxNews.com, it was raining slightly with winds of 13 to 14 miles per hour and 10 miles visibility at the time of the crash. As of our production deadline, one body, that of the pilot, still has not been recovered. Angel Flight is a nonprofit group that arranges free air transportation for sick patients from volunteer pilots. Both the FAA and NTSB are investigating. The NBAA said Monday it welcomes the introduction of the Small Aircraft Revitalization Act of 2013 in the U.S. Senate. The bill is similar to the Small Airplane Revitalization Act of 2013, which was introduced earlier this month in the U.S. House of Representatives. Both bills would set a date for implementation of the Federal Aviation Administration's Part 23 Reorganization Aviation Rulemaking Committee, or ARC, recommendations to adopt consensus-based, design-specific performance requirements to achieve FAA certification. The Part 23 revisions would help achieve goals set forth by FAA Administrator Michael Huerta to double aircraft safety, while cutting in half the cost necessary to achieve FAA certification. Ed Bolin, NBAA President and CEO, said, quote, "The Part 23 certification process as it exists today is cumbersome, time-consuming, costly, and quite simply out of date. Revisions are necessary to adapt to the new level of technology commonly found today in general aviation aircraft. These bills will establish a standardized, deliberative method to ensure that the latest operational and safety advances are available as quickly as possible to the companies relying on business aviation," end quote. Readjusting to civilian life after being wounded in combat is never an easy task. But the Renegade Light Sport Training Division hopes to do its part by announcing a new Wounded Warrior program. Dubbed the Broken Wing Project, the company will introduce our injured military heroes to the freedom of flight using two specifically designed and equipped SC-07 speed cruisers. Renegade, based in Fort Pierce, Florida, says the Speed Cruiser is the perfect aircraft for this important mission of giving a wounded warrior the opportunity to become a light sport pilot. It provides easy access to a 48-inch wide cabin that's roomy enough for a 6'9", 300-pound person. Additionally, all flight controls can be operated by hand, which removes a physical barrier that previously precluded many from ever learning to fly. The program is the brainchild of Renegade Light Sport owner Christopher Doc Bailey, a former U.S. Army medevac pilot. Doc has been successful in enlisting corporate sponsorship so the veterans can learn to fly free of charge. Doc believes that given the successful completion of this program, the heightened morale of these brave young men and women would certainly inspire them to further their success. This 2 to 3 week accelerated program is the only one of its kind in the United States. The program kicks off next month. Seaplanes are no longer welcome on Oregon's Waldo Lake. Legislation passed by the Oregon legislature and signed by Governor John Kitzhaber bans seaplane operations from the second deepest lake in the state. The bill had the backing of the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club. The chapter's director, Brian Pasco, said in a statement that the action, quote, "will protect Waldo Lake's unique ecology and ensure that it is a place for quiet recreation and solitude to be enjoyed by Oregonians for generations to come," end quote, according to a report in The Oregonian. The Oregon State Marine Board had previously banned motorized boats from using the lake, but had no jurisdiction over aircraft, so seaplanes were exempt from that ban. This legislation, however, supersedes that exemption. Republican Representative Bruce Hanna said that the bill was a way for a certain segment of the population to take the lake away from some Oregonians, quote, and restrict it to those who want it all to themselves, end quote. Avjet Corporation said Thursday that it has become the only Boeing business jet operator in the United States approved for Part 135 global charter. The Part 135 certificate required rigorous reviews and approvals by the FAA and the DOT. The BBJs are part of Avjet's charter fleet of high-performance, large-cabin jets from all manufacturers, including Boeing, Gulfstream, Bombardier, and Dassault Falcon. The company is headquartered in Burbank, California, and maintains a global presence in Washington, D.C., Seoul, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Moscow, and other locations. When Aero News continues, a princely emergency landing, drones for fighting wildfires, and get your hot dogs here.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, May 28th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A helicopter carrying Prince Charles and Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, was forced to make an emergency landing last week en route to the Hay Literary Festival in Powys. The aircraft suffered an unspecified technical fault, according to a report from ABC News. The incident occurred about 15 minutes after they departed London. The pilot diverted the flight to the Denham Aerodrome in Buckinghamshire. A spokesman for the royal couple said, quote, the pilot carried out a controlled emergency landing after diverting to the airport, end quote. An investigation has been opened into what went wrong aboard the aircraft. There were five other people on board along with Charles and Camilla. The couple continued their trip to Powys on the ground, arriving at the festival about 3 hours late. The U.S. Forest Service is looking at using UAVs as a way to track how wildfires spread and identify hotspots using infrared cameras as a way to reduce risk to pilots, firefighters, and others on the ground in a fire's path. But the Forest Service says the FAA is severely limiting their ability to make those evaluations. According to current FARs, UAVs may not operate out of sight of a ground-based pilot. That's difficult in situations where smoke severely reduces visibility, and so a piloted aircraft must be dispatched to watch the drone. According to a story in the New York Times, the Forest Service says that UAVs were used successfully to help track a wildfire in Alaska nearly 4 years ago, a fire that had generated so much thick smoke that manned flights were prohibited. But despite that success, Alaska Senator Mark Begich has called the delays in getting approval for testing and evaluation, quote-unquote, frustrating. But the FAA says that safety both in the air and on the ground is the agency's primary consideration. So how far would you fly for a free hot dog? On Saturday, May 18th, some pilots flew from as far away as Virginia, Maryland, and Michigan to Claremont County Airport near Cincinnati, Ohio, for a free hot dog. Of course, that wasn't the only reason for their journeys. The hot dogs were a ritual part of the annual Sporties Fly-In. This was the ninth such event, and about 100 aircraft arrived for the occasion. As we said, hot dogs were not the only attraction. There were dozens of commercial exhibitors, shopping at Sporties retail store, and free seminars were once again very popular, with presentations on flying with the iPad and others presented by Garmin, Aspen Avionics, 4Flight, and InFlight Cam. As part of the International Learn to Fly Day, Sporties Academy also provided several introductory flights to aspiring pilots. Sporties President Michael Wolf said, quote, it's a fun day for our customers, our exhibitors, and our own staff who enjoy this busy day at our airport. and I'm lucky to be the one to inform a customer that he has won a brand new airplane, end quote. Well, the winner of Sporty's 2013 Airplane Sweepstakes was Christopher Boyle of Arcata, California. He's the winner of a brand new Legend Cub. Next year's fly-in and sweepstakes award is scheduled for Saturday, May 17th, 2014. I guess it's probably too late to ask for a couple of dogs with mustard and relish. Oh well. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.